I've had no fewer than three clients tell me a very similar story using the exact same phrase. What's happened is this. I'm going to give you just one of the examples. So we'll call him Jeff. Jeff was in the middle of a meeting with his direct reports. And one of the direct reports came and presented a plan, an idea. And they, as they began discussing the idea, they kind of went back and forth and back and forth. And Jeff's direct report made this assertion. And he said, you know, I really think that this is what we're doing and this is what could be helping us. And here's where I think some of the problems are. And Jeff's response was this. Okay, I completely disagree with you. And here's why. And then he went on to explain all the ways that he completely disagreed with this guy. And a couple weeks later, I ended up getting a call from Jeff, and he was going, I'm really frustrated. I don't know what's going on. People seem really frustrated and irritated by me, but I can't really figure out why. And as we talked, he described the meeting for me. And as he described the meeting, before I even got to what he said, I said, did you by any chance happen to use the phrase, I completely disagree with you? And he said, how did you know that? And I said, because I've seen this happen so many times. There are certain phrases that enter our lexicon that we use habitually that actually impede everything we intend to accomplish. And what happened was, as soon as they said, you know, I completely disagree with you, that was actually an energy that created kind of a wall, a massive disagreement. And it shocked the people in the room. They were, you know, the guy felt publicly embarrassed. And he began talking to his friends about it and peers. And they wondered what he thought about this. And that led to an HR conversation. He talked to his wife. And he lost 10 hours of productive time on his team. Not him personally, but everybody, all the time spent discussing and debating what the micro nuances were of what that comment meant and how it affected everybody. This is what happens in the emotional substrate of any system. And our words are the things that evoke it, trigger it, and create all of the problems. So what I have created are what I just call switches, verbal switches. So the metaphor here is that of train tracks. You've seen train tracks. And I'm going to teach you how to do this practice of throwing switches. Train tracks, the way they work is you've got a set of tracks and you can throw a switch. It's a tiny little thing that moves just the tracks slightly and you get your train on a different track. Switches in conversation are words or phrases that reset the direction that the train is on in any conversation. And a switch can either be a good switch or it can be a bad switch. And by bad, I just mean head you in the wrong direction and derail the conversation that you really wanted to have. So that's what we're talking about today, are finding switches that work and identifying the switches that take you in directions you don't want to go. So the phrase, I completely disagree with you, is in fact a switch. He flipped a switch, he didn't know he was throwing a switch, and the whole conversation went a different direction. Now, what I have are suggestions for the most common switches and how to throw better switches, if that makes sense. I wanna get into that in a minute. So the thing to be aware of is that some conversations are going to be very complex and full of switches, and they'll look a bit like this, which is kind of lots and lots of different directions that things can go. So what I'm describing isn't always simple, but I'm gonna try to give you just some language patterns that might help you have better conversations, especially the hard ones. So this is a continuation of the How to Have Hard Conversations module. So here, let's take a look at some examples. So the first example is exactly the one that we just talked about. I completely disagree with you. Well, what if instead of that, he said, let me push back a little. That's exactly a similar kind of statement, but what he's really doing here is he's putting the clutch in before he changes gears. He's alerting the room that the energy is going to shift and people can be prepared. So instead of saying, I completely disagree with you, he's giving a warning sign, which is, let me push back a little. And then that allows him the space to go, here's how I'm thinking about it. So that's one example. Another switch that conveys the exact same thing is something like this. I think about that differently. Tell me more. So you can see how in this instance, what you have is an energy shift, right? I completely disagree with you is a wall. I think about that differently. Tell me more is a bridge. And when you do that, you honor the other person. And when you honor the other person in front of others, they want to honor you back. These are the subtleties of how leadership can go wrong so easily and so rapidly. So I've provided this for you so you can literally just kind of memorize some of these phrases. Now, not all of these are exact, but use this as inspiration to help you begin to think through what are some other ways that I can retrain my natural communication patterns so that I'm getting the most from my team. Let's give a couple of more examples, okay? That's the rest of this video. You're not listening to me. This may be something you really want to say to someone sometime, but here are some other switches that I think work better, but get at the same basic idea. I'm not being very clear. Let me try again. See, in that case, you shift from you're not listening to me, the problem is you, to, you know what, I'm not being very clear, let me try again. It means the same thing. Implied in it is, something isn't being heard in the way that I intend. And I'm gonna take responsibility for that rather than putting that on you. Very respectful, but still very clear. Something isn't working right. Okay, here's another example. It feels like I'm not getting a fair hearing. So this is when you're actually more frustrated. Maybe you've gone through a couple of different tries and you really need to confront the person with a little bit more energy. It feels like I'm really not getting a fair hearing here. And that's just another way to kind of express, this is what's going on in me. I'm gonna test it with you. And this is the thing to be aware of with this whole process is, these aren't right and wrong. These are simply choices and consequences. Each one of these switches will set the train on a different path. And it may start on a very subtle path, and it could eventually be quite far away from your original destination. And that's why it's important to pay attention to every switch. And by the way, if you throw a switch and it goes bad, you can always throw another switch and get you back on track. Let's do the next one. Let me finish. Have you ever said that? You're in their conversation and someone keeps interrupting you and you just want to be like, let me finish. I let you finish. Let me finish. Often that kind of command and demand is disruptive, and maybe it's appropriate. So I'm not saying you shouldn't say it. I'm just saying that's a switch that's going to send you in a direction. Here's another switch you could use to convey the same exact thing. Is it okay if I complete my thought? Here you're just asking permission. Is it okay if I complete my thought? There's a different quality. There's a different vibe to that, right? Here's another one. I'd like to land my thought. Are you able to make some space for that? So that's just another way of getting at the same basic thing. Let me finish. Turns into these other switches. Here's another. You micromanage too much. In this case, maybe you're trying to help somebody above you, or maybe you're trying to help somebody below you or across from you, but you're just aware that they're in the weeds way too much, managing and demanding everything from everybody else. And so another way you could actually express that or get at that, depending on the issue, is this. What behavior do you need from me, if you're speaking to your boss, to build trust? Or what behavior do you need from your people to build trust? So here you're actually focusing them on the behaviors they need to see so that they can release some of the demand to do everything for them and tell them where to go. So that's a really helpful one. And another way of expressing this is this. Your people depend on your strategic thinking. What could you release to make space for that? Let's do another one. You're being a bully. So this is kind of harkening back to that earlier overplayed strength. But this is when they're bullying you and you wanna go at them a little bit back, different ways to do that. And it depends on how bad of a bully they're being. Sometimes they need to be matched with that same intensity. But here's an example of some things that are maybe a little bit less direct. This matters a lot to you. I'd like to hear you better. That will happen with a different approach. So what you're saying here is, look, this is really important to you. I actually want to understand what you're saying, but your approach isn't helping me hear you. Here's another approach that might. So this is where you're, in a way, you're kind of coaching them and alerting them to the fact that their approach is gonna cause problems. But you're also making clear you share their goal and you care about what they have to say. It's a great way to respect someone. Another example. I'm not gonna be constructive in this conversation. Let's bracket it and come back to it later. So here we're just literally saying, look, I think things are getting worse. This is when you're, especially when you notice you're really triggered and you got a tripwire that got flipped and you're gonna get really, really irritated, angry, explosive, reactive, and you just don't wanna go there. This is where you get to press pause and say, look, can we bracket this conversation? I'm not gonna be very constructive. Can we come back to it later? Don't ever be afraid to ask for that space if you need it. I don't trust you. So this is where we're focused on whether or not a person is trustworthy. And my suggestion here is that you focus that energy on their behavior rather than on some vague feeling you might have about whether they're trustable. Now, I'm not saying whether you should or shouldn't trust them. I'm saying this is how you have the conversation with them. So here's an example of how you could express the same idea, but you do it a little differently. Here it is. I could be wrong, but there seems to be a gap between what I heard you say and what I see happening. Now, there's a lot packed into this sentence that I want to highlight here. And a lot of it is, you can see how everything I've done there is to change the subject from them to you. It is much easier for people to hear when they are not the subject, when someone else is. They can actually begin to hear, the defenses come down a little bit, and they get curious about walking in. So instead of shoving it in their face, you're inviting them in. And that's what this word kind of switch does. First, it starts with, I could be wrong, which is simply an awareness. You know what? I might be rendering reality. I've got only limited ways of seeing, and I suppress certain things and I highlight others. I could be wrong, but it seems like, seems, pretty key word there. Maybe it isn't, but it seems like there's a gap between what I heard you say, what I heard, not what you said, right? I'm not saying between what you said. I'm saying between what I heard and what I see happening. What I see happening is not the same thing as what you did. So everything about that sentence is constantly bringing it back to more and more, how am I responsible for what I bring to this? But everything under this is implied, look, man, I'm having a hard time trusting you. The next one, seems like we keep crossing wires. It might help us function better if we connect a little more often. So here's a really interesting thing. One of the things I find happening a lot is when people say, I don't trust that person, I don't trust this, that often just means they need more time together. The more time you have with someone, the more you build rapport, the more trust begins to raise. And so here you're just alerting them to the fact that instead of saying, I don't trust you, you're saying, look, I think our wires keep getting crossed. It's just a nice vague way of saying something's not quite working right. And you're proposing a solution. I wonder if it would help if we could connect more often. You are too focused on the negative. I hear this one a lot. You know, this person, they're just so negative. So here are some examples of what you could say to someone who's like that. First is, I can see the challenges you're naming. What merits could you also see in this? And what I mean, here's what I mean by that. Look, I know that you can see all the problems. And you're really good at that. And I actually see the problems you see as well. Can you also see any merits in this? So I affirm. So basically, way of saying, I affirm what you see, but I wonder if you can also see something else. And that actually, when you affirm someone, they actually have more likelihood of saying, yeah, I think I can. Okay, and then here's another one. Anticipating problems seems important to you, and you're good at it. I'd love to see you apply that skill to helping us anticipate the problems that could come when things go well. It seems just as important. So this is kind of an interesting sleight of mouth trick, which is you're effectively saying to them, look, you've got this great skill, which is you can anticipate problems. And what you're trying to do is prevent failure. For that, we are grateful. But are you aware that success can bring just as many problems? So let's focus for a few minutes on, let's imagine this thing does work and it is a good idea and it can be successful. What problems could you anticipate coming from that? So that's just another way to kind of affirm their gift and link it and invite them to apply it to some different things that actually bring about more positives. Next one, you don't communicate. Here's a way to go around that. I'd like to stay aligned with you. What's the best way to communicate with you? So here, instead of telling the person they don't communicate, you're asking them for, how do you like to be communicated with? And this is a really valid, legitimate question. I know plenty of leaders for whom text is the worst way to get a hold of them, and other leaders, it is the only way to get a hold of them. Email is a black hole for some, and it is the only way they communicate for others. In person, phone calls, you know, you might have internal internets in your intranets in your company or organization. So here you're asking, how can I communicate best with you? And what you're doing is, again, red flag, something's not working right, and here's a positive way of getting there. Here's another one. What's the best way for us to share information with each other? So just a very simple way of saying something to help them realize something isn't working right in our communication. Now, what I've just done there are just, you know, half a dozen or so of different switches. And what I'm trying to get at is to help you realize the power of your language and to feed you a few phrases and cadences for you to kind of internalize and make use of. Now, I'm going to give you two other words or phrases that I hear periodically that I would just recommend you don't ever need to use. And the reason is because they are a switch that almost always sends the conversation in the wrong direction. Here they are. No offense, but. That one is brilliant. It triggers in people defensiveness immediately. It basically says, I'm ready to be offended. So that's one that I would say you don't ever need to say. And with all due respect, the proper response when somebody says to you, with all due respect, your answer should be none taken, because they don't actually mean respect. And when you alert people to that, it's a way for you to basically undermine what you just said. So those are two phrases I would stay away from. But in general, just be thinking about politeness, basic kindness, thank you, I'm sorry, please, those kinds of things go a long way. And even if they seem like they don't mean a lot, they do mean a lot. And so that's a little training around switches, and I hope that you play with it and make use of it. And then in the next video, we're actually going to be talking about transitions and terminations.